In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you familiar with fan fiction? Fan fiction is when a fan, not the author, but a fan, writes a story based on a TV show or a movie using the characters and the context created by the original author. Today, I'd like to try my hand at some fan fiction based on the news from Lake Wobegon from Garrison Keillor's Old Prairie Home Companion radio show. It was a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church had an education committee meeting last Tuesday. There weren't any big items on the agenda, which made Pastor Engvist very nervous. Everyone knows that when there doesn't seem to be anything big about to happen, something always happens. Meetings such as that always begin with a brief devotion by the pastor. A brief devotion by the pastor is an oxymoron, a misnomer, a contradiction in terms. There has never been a brief devotion or sermon by a pastor in the history of Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. The closest they ever came was one Advent, when the Advent wreath accidentally caught on fire. Even then, the pastor kept speaking until one of the elders got up in front of the congregation and said, "We have to evacuate the building right now." For his devotion, Pastor Engvist decided that he would expand a bit upon the lesson for the previous Sunday, the gospel reading, because this was the education committee after all. He decided that he would teach a bit about farming methods at the time of Christ. Of course, in those days, they didn't have the agricultural equipment that we had today. A sower would just go out throwing seeds pretty much randomly, hoping that some of it would fall on good soil and produce grain. Now, Pastor Engvist could have wrapped up the devotion right there with a summary comment about how we sow the seeds of love and hope that something would grow, but he ran right through that stop sign and went on to another point. In seminary, Pastor Engvist was taught that a good sermon answers an important question. The question has to be important. Nobody really cares what happened to the ancient Jebusites. And the question had to be answered. As his professor put it, a sermon has to move from itch to scratch, from problem to solution. Now, what was on Pastor Engvist's mind was a Christian song that was gaining some popularity called "Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil." But nowhere in the parable does it say that we get to choose what kind of soil we are. Christ doesn't even instruct us to pray that we should be good soil. So can we? Should we? That's a good question. Pastor Engvist didn't have an answer. Despite what was clearly a clunker of a devotion, the meeting went on uneventfully. Uneventfully is a medical term. It means without emergency, without catastrophe, without disaster. Uneventful is something that you always hope for. Now, things could have went either way for a moment there at the meeting when it was noted that expenditures for Sunday school curriculum were slightly over budget. Wally Gustafson is a member of that committee, and he is the nicest, most pleasant person you could ever meet. He always has something good to say about everybody and everything, and that's rare anywhere, and especially in Lake Wobegon. One day, somebody said they were going to try to stump Wally, and they said, "Wally, is there anything good you can say about the devil? Wally wasn't insulted or offended by the question. He just thought for a moment, smiled his toothy grin, and said, "Well, he certainly is hardworking, isn't he?" When it was mentioned that the expenses were running a little high, Wally pointed to the fact that offerings had been up the past few months. Anybody but Wally would have known that that just isn't done. Nowhere in Lutheran theology is there talks of karma or jinxes, but every Lutheran knows the very second you are happy or proud about something, it's going to come crashing down around you. So Bill Tollerud had to set things right away before disaster struck. And he pointed to some less than encouraging stewardship figures. Wally's persistent optimism was undeterred. He just smiled again and said, "The Lord will provide." And that was that. You can't top "the Lord will provide." Bill and Wally epitomize two factions called the old hard Lutherans and the new soft Lutherans. On one hand, the old hard Lutherans want to defend the historic teachings and doctrines of the church, and that's a good thing. On the other hand, the joke, "How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb?" 10. One to change the light bulb and 9 to say how much better the old light bulb was. That was told about the old hard Lutherans. The new soft Lutherans are more interested in missions and community ministry. But it's feared that left unchecked, they would send the whole endowment fund to some experimental agricultural ministry in a country that nobody's ever heard of. Things went on from there uneventfully, and Pastor Enquist let out an audible sigh of relief, and just as he did so, he knew immediately that he had jinxed himself. Violet Bauer, Sunday school kindergarten teacher emeritus, looked over at Charmaine Lilyquist, current Sunday school kindergarten teacher, as she sat there with her Starbucks skinny frappe macchiato something or other. And Violet said to her, "Isn't our coffee good enough for you?" That Charmaine came to church every Sunday with a Starbucks latte and a scone had been eating at Violet for months, and finally she just had to say something. As Pastor Enquist heard this, he remembered what experience had taught him and what everybody should know, that the issue is never the issue. There is always an issue behind the issue. Coffee and cookies were first served, very first time, at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church in 1926. The congregation had just came through the decision whether services were going to be in English or German. English had won, and a few people were still smarting over that. Some would say that this was the beginning of the division into the old hard Lutherans and the new soft Lutherans. This was also the golden age of Sunday school. More people, children and adults, came to Sunday school than came to worship. A lot of people would come to Sunday school and then leave before the church service started. Sunday school was also intentionally and intensely lay-led. The pastors were told, subtly but firmly, that they were not welcome in the Sunday school. The pastor wouldn't even come into the church building on Sundays until Sunday school was over. At that time, there was one big adult class. But then one Sunday, Mr. Bergman, an ancestor of Lillian Bower, and Mr. Bultman, an ancestor of Charmaine Lilliquist, disagreed in Sunday school over an esoteric point of doctrine. The next Sunday, there were two Sunday school classes. The Martin Luther Bible class, led by Mr. Bergman, and the People of the Way Fellowship, led by Mr. Bultman. The two classes still exist today. Although there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two, and nobody really remembers what the original issue that separated them was anyway. The People of the Way brought in cookies and brewed coffee for their members. Just for their members. The Martin Luther Bible class was told that neither they nor their children were welcome to the cookies and coffee. Now, who could deny a child a cookie? Jimmy Hammarskjöld could, and a generation of Lake Wobegon Lutheran children will tell you how old Jimmy could freeze a child approaching the cookie plate with just a look. Things eased up on the coffee and cookie front after World War II. There were pastries and coffee, and everyone was welcome to them. The ladies of the church would volunteer to take a particular week to set up the hospitality table, and there was a good deal of competition between them as to who could put out the very best spread. There was one event at that time, though, that still has ramifications today. There was a dry patch in the local economy, and a lot of people were out of work. Offerings declined. In an effort to save money, CPA Lars Anderson was appointed to make the coffee each week. Each Sunday, Lars would put one less tablespoon of coffee into the 60-cup urn that he made every Sunday. When finally too many people were complaining that the coffee was too weak, he put one tablespoon back, and then his exact grounds-to-water ratio was enshrined in plastic laminate and hung in the church kitchen, and that same exact recipe is used to this day. Given how weak the coffee is, and that it is whatever was cheapest at the grocery store when they bought it, even Wally Gustafson has trouble saying anything good about it. Well, it certainly is an economical way to get warm on a cold day, he says. The Pillsbury Bake Off that was the hospitality table in the narthex thrived until one fateful Sunday a few years ago. Pastor Enquist's predecessor, Pastor Wentz, now deceased, had just got his blood test results back. His doctor called him, and said, "Did somebody replace your blood sample with mayonnaise and high fructose corn syrup? I have never seen triglyceride numbers that high ever." Well, the next Sunday, Pastor Wentz marched into the narthex, declared that caffeine and sugar were the moral equivalent of genocide, and from now on, at the hospitality table, there would only be fresh fruit, nuts, and bottled water. Neither Pastor Wentz nor his decree lasted very long. Today, most of the goodies on the table are store-bought. Occasionally, somebody will bring a pie from the Chatterbox Cafe. Few people have the time or energy to cook anymore. Bob Anderson, the son of Lars, now makes the coffee following his father's recipe. Charmaine had thought about several good comebacks, some real zingers that she should have shot back at Violet. And no one would have blamed her. Violet had it coming. Violet had been speaking to people like that for decades, and it was time for somebody to put her in her place. But Violet had been Charmaine's Sunday school teacher when Charmaine was in kindergarten. And Charmaine knew that Violet had lost a granddaughter tragically who would be just about Charmaine's age now. And Charmaine had enough problems of her own to worry about. You're going to make enough enemies in life just doing what you got to do. You don't have to go out looking for trouble. What would be sowing good seed in this soil? How could something good grow out of this? Isn't what Jesus wants for us is that love might flourish? So instead, Charmaine looked at Violet and said, "I love you too, Violet." And Violet said, "Charmaine, you were a brat when I had you in Sunday school, and you are still a brat today." Everyone laughed. The meeting adjourned. Church went on. Life went on. The seed of the gospel grew in good soil. And that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all of the children are above average. Amen.